Amen. Thank you, Mallory. Acts chapter 8. While you're turning there, let me just say a couple of things. We'll be receiving our offering at the end of the service. We'll have some ushers in the back for those of you that like to give as you're here this morning. And so you can just drop that in as you dismiss. Also, I'd like to mention that we're hoping to begin our children's ministries early June. And so we've got some things in plan, some things planned that we'll be able to do that. And so we're hoping to be able to do that. So keep us in prayer as we make those plans, as we try to prepare for that. And that'd be a great plus to be able to get our children's ministries back up and running as soon as possible. We want to try and do so with every precaution, do it as well as we can. So that's what we're looking to do. So keep that in prayer so that we're able to accomplish that. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. You know, in sharing Christ with people who have not trusted Him as their Lord and Savior, we have basically two things that are absolutely and totally essential to sharing Christ with them, to leading them to the Lord. It is the messenger and the message. And so when we look at this picture, understand and know that in the account of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, which is the account that we're going to be sharing, what we see is an incredible picture of both. We see a picture of Philip as the messenger bringing to the eunuch the message of Jesus Christ, the message of hope. And it was an incredible picture of both of these. And so we're going to get a good look at both of them as we kind of walk through this. But before we really get into it, let's take a quick look at the account. We're told that the Ethiopian eunuch was a man of incredible authority, great authority, under Queen Candace of Ethiopia, all right? And he was not only in authority, but he was in charge of all of her treasury, so he was well-trusted. He was a man that she trusted, but not only that, we also find that he was an incredibly religious man. He had come to Jerusalem with the intent of worshiping God. He came there for, you know, whatever the feast was or whatever the sacrifices were to be made and all of those kinds of things that were happening. He had come there to worship God. I find that incredibly interesting because today a lot of folks get the idea that if we worship God, everything's all right. But folks, understand and know that worshiping God gets us nothing unless we trust His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. And what we find in the case of this Ethiopian was he was worshiping God. He cared about the things of God. He was obviously a Jew who had at some point in time either been raised in captivity or possibly just raised under the household there in Ethiopia. And so he was brought into this position, and in so doing, he was trusted enough that she allowed him to come to Jerusalem to observe this worship. Now, in so doing, as I said, he was a religious man, so he was reading the scriptures. He had his Bible out, if you would. He had the Old Testament, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, we would call it chapter 53. And as he's reading that, he's got some questions about what he was reading. And he was, like I said, a religious man reading God's word. And God directs Philip to him to explain to him the things that he was reading. Let's begin reading in chapter 8 and verse 26, and just read this to give you an idea of what's going on. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Now, as I said, this whole account proves that being religious, knowing who God is, even studying His word, doesn't make you eternally secure. We need a little bit more than that. There is something else that has to take place to make us a true child of God. And I'm thoroughly convinced that there are a lot of people even today that are sitting in our church pews calling themselves Christians and even quoting scriptures, and they are bound for eternity apart from God, not knowing Him, and professing to know Him, yet do not know Him as their Lord and Savior. You know, had this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, had he went on his way back to Ethiopia, just as religious as he had come in, had he left refusing to believe what Philip had shared, refusing to believe that Jesus was the Christ, refusing that, he would have left and went back to Ethiopia, a religious man without hope and without everlasting life. That's a shame. You know, a lot of times today, we'll knock on a door, and they'll come to the door, and it's almost as though they know that if they just call out some denomination, oh, I'm Protestant, or I'm Catholic, or I'm Baptist, or they have this idea that if they just say that, that it scares us away, that we are just to leave. But I always try to make a point of saying, well, that's incredible, then you know who God is, but let me tell you, do you know Jesus Christ, and are you sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? I like to make a point of at least bringing something home to them so that they understand and know it's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to be baptized. It's not enough to be a member of a church. It's not enough to have shaken. Not enough to do whatever it is. My hand, which you can't do these days, by the way, but it's not enough to do all of those things. We need to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Folks, it's the only thing that gets us to heaven. And it's important that we understand that. And so what we want to do is kind of take a look at what changed this Ethiopian eunuch's life. What caused him to go back home as a changed man, someone who knew Christ and was bound for eternity with him for all eternity. We want to first look at the messenger. The messenger was Philip. Now, Philip was out of the Church of Jerusalem. All right, he was out of First Baptist Jerusalem, and being over there, he was one of the seven that had been chosen to take care of the widows that were being neglected, and they chose him out, and some of the qualifications for that, the most prominent, I would think, is the fact that it says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So here's a man that the rest of the congregation looked at and recognized out of a congregation of thousands and thousands and thousands. He was one of the seven that they designated as a man full of the Holy Ghost. So he was a man who was committed unto God and committed to the things of God. And then God took him from serving the widows out of that church to evangelism and used him to share Jesus Christ with people all across the area. And so what we find is as he takes him out and as he uses him in that way, we realize that God had used him and was using him to begin works all over the place. In the case of this Ethiopian eunuch, keep in mind that once this eunuch received Jesus Christ, he took that same message right back to Ethiopia. He took that same message right back to his hometown, his home country, and began to preach and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we find that Philip was a messenger that did just that. Philip, to be the messenger that God would have him to be, had to first be sensitive to God's direction. Had to be sensitive to God's will. You know, there is nothing more important in a believer's life than that of being in a position where we are sensitive to God's will and God's direction. We need to know what God would have us to do. In fact, Philip was about God's work when God dealt with him. You know, God's going to deal with you when you're about his business. That's the most likely place. He began just simply by being a faithful worker, by being a faithful member of the church, and the people recognized that. His next step was to take care of those widows in the church, and then the next step that God chose to use him was to send him out and do some evangelism to tell others about Jesus Christ. You know, I look at my own life and I think about some of those steps, and you don't realize them as you're taking the steps, but when you look back, you're able to see what God did with you. You know, and I was able to see back when God began by putting me in bus ministry. And he worked with me in bus ministry. I became a Sunday school teacher. And from Sunday school teacher, he began to use me then to do some preaching here and about. And then he used me to come and pastor the church. And I began to look at those steps. And I think God moved me from one position to the next. And it was easier to be sensitive to the will of God and what God would have me to do by being involved in the ministries that God had called me to be involved in. And it's important to see that. In the case of Philip, he knew God's will and was in a position where he would look and hear the plan of God. Look for and hear. In verse 26, he says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying. Now, right away, we get the idea that this maybe was an audible call. Maybe God said, you know, the angel of the Lord came unto him and said, hey, God wants you to do this. But it would seem, just by another notation here in just a moment, he probably didn't speak to him audibly. This was probably something that took place within him. It was in all likelihood speaking to him inwardly. He was so sensitive and so willing to do what God would have him to do that when God spoke to him, when God gave him the directions that he would have him to have, he knew what God would have him to do. You look on down at verse 29, for example, he said, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So we get this idea that the communication took place inwardly. It was probably not audible. Now, I wouldn't fuss at the fact that it was audible. God spoke to him very often in that way in the early church before they had the Word of God all compiled, and it would have not been such an extraordinary thing, and they would have experienced such things. But I believe in this particular case, he was just in such a frame of mind, such a place to do God's will and to do God's work, that God was able to speak to him inwardly, and he heard him and knew him and was familiar with his voice and knew what he wanted him to do. And so when we look at this, he knew what to do. You know, we're told in Romans 8:16 that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. We're in a position today where we need to be sensitive to God's will. God, what do you want me to do? God, what direction would you have me to go? And we'll talk about a bit about that here in a moment. Because Philip was sensitive to the Spirit of God, he was able to know God's will. And because he was sensitive to the Spirit of God, we see that the Ethiopian eunuch trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. How can we be so sensitive to God's will? Let me turn that question around. Another way to phrase it might be, why are we so often not sensitive to God's will? Turn that very positive statement into a very negative. I'm a Baptist preacher. I got to do that. You know what I'm saying? And so what we understand is this, that there are some things that need to take place in our life that says, how am I to be sensitive to what God would have me to do? And what is it in my life that prevents me from being sensitive to God's will? Let me begin with something pretty simple. If our minds and our life are full of the world, we're going to be sensitive to the things of the world. What we're thinking, what we're close to, what we're focusing on at the time is what we're going to be sensitive to. And we're going to be looking at those things. If our hearts and our lives are filled with bitterness, then we're going to be looking at opportunities to be bitter. If we're filled up with anger, we're going to be looking for something to be angry about. But if we're filled with the things that God would have us to be filled with, we're going to be looking for opportunities to serve and opportunities to do those things as God would have us to. In fact, there's a reason why we're told in Scripture this: whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Why do that? Well, because it makes us sensitive to what God would have us to do. It brings us to this place where we understand and know that when God's dealing with my heart, dealing with my life, I want to know what it is he would have me to do. You know, very often we see decisions made in a church service rather than just in your daily lives. And the reason for that is because while you're sitting there listening to the pastor, you've already been singing some hymns and things like that, and you're more sensitive to his will, and you're thinking about those things, and you're more prone to be drawn to him in those situations. You see, it's when we're thinking about the things of God and when we're focused on the things of God that we're going to find what he would have us to see. We're going to be directed as he would have us to be directed. You know, when we think about serving Christ, it's going to make us sensitive to his will. Let me give you an illustration. Now, I've been accused of having a one-track mind. I'm one of those guys that if I'm focused on something, that's what I'm focused on. If I'm going this direction and I'm focused on doing this, you could talk to me, I may never hear you. My wife says all the time that I never listen to her. And she'll say something, and she'll say, now, are you listening to me? And I, what? Because in all honesty, I wasn't. And no, I didn't hear what she said. I might try to play it off. I might pretend like I did. But in all honesty, I didn't hear a word of what she said. Why? Because when I am focused on something, I can't hear anything else. Folks, when we get focused on the world, when we are deterred by anything that's going on in our life, it takes our focus away from Jesus Christ. And we have to get back to that place where we're focused on Him. Because if we're not focused on Him, I am not going to hear what He would have me to do. I'm not going to know. If I'm out here in the world and I'm focused on the things of the world, or if I'm focusing on myself, you know, what can be done for me. Well, look, I don't, that person did this or that person did that, or boy, they didn't show me the respect. Or you know, we could go on and on and on, but if we're looking at that, we're never going to be focused on God. We have to get our attention back to what God would have us to have our attention on. That's why He tells us to pray often. That's why He tells us to study His Word. That's why He tells us to do those things, because it draws our focus and our attention back to Him so that we can know what He would have us to do. I mean, for example, how often do we really look for opportunities to study His Word? Instead of, oh, you know, I got to study my Word. I got to study God's Word. Let me do my devotions. Instead of that, man, I hope I get another opportunity to sit down with God's book today. Man, I hope I get another opportunity to really spend some quality time in prayer. I mean, I can't wait till Sunday comes. I can't wait till Wednesday comes so that I can have another opportunity to be with God's people, to hear His message presented, to be able to do the things God would have us to do. Instead, we're looking, oh yeah, we got to do those things. When we ought to be going, God, give me another opportunity to tell others about Jesus Christ. Give me another opportunity to learn more about You. Dear God, may I be focused on Your will so that I might know when You would have me to tell somebody about Jesus. You know, it's a sad commentary, but I think sometimes, and I wonder if I'm the right messenger. You think about family members that are lost. Think about neighbors that are lost. Think about co-workers that are lost. You know, you just think about people in your life that are lost. And it could very well be that you are the messenger. And are you sensitive enough to God's will to know when and where and how to share the gospel with those folks? And you might be the messenger assigned to them. Are we the messenger that God would have us to be so that we might follow the directions that God would have us to follow? Are we sensitive enough to His will that we might know that? Second thing is, not only was Philip sensitive to God's will, but he was willing to follow God's direction. You know, it's one thing to know what God would have us to do, but it's quite another to say, okay, I'll do it. All right? He knew what God wanted him to do, but he was so willing to do whatever it was that God would have him to do. He was that willing, willing messenger. Now, as a pastor, I got to tell you, there's always that handful of people in your church that you know that if there's something to do, you can just go ask them and they're going to jump to it. They're going to say, yeah, I'll do that. And you always cherish those people because you realize, man, you need those people. You need folks that are willing to say, whatever it is God would have me to do, I want to do it. I want to be a part of it. I don't want to miss. I don't want to lose out. You know, I remember times when I drove a truck on the road for just a very short while, and I had jobs sometimes that would had the possibility or the potential of taking me away on church times and that kind of thing. And I remember times when I thought, I'm not going to make it back for service. And man, I push hard. I do everything I could to get back because I wanted to be there. I didn't want to miss out on anything. What if that was the service where God called me out to do something? What if that's the service where somebody received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and I missed it? What if I wanted to be that guy? I wanted to be there and to be a part of that. When God spoke to Philip, he wasted no time following God's will. And after being told to go toward the south, he says, to a desert between Gaza and Jerusalem. Well, that I got to tell you, when God calls you and says, go here and go there, most guys aren't willing to go to the desert. They're looking for the mountaintop. Amen. You know, I know pastor friends that are waiting for the church that runs 1,000 to call them as pastor, you know. And they're not waiting for the church that's running 10 or 12, you know. They're looking for the church that runs 1,000. Why? Because nobody wants to be called to the desert. Philip didn't care. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'm ready to go. I'm willing to go. And it says in verse 27, he arose and went. He didn't say, God, the desert, really? God, is there going to be plenty to drink there? Is there going to be plenty? I mean, am I going to be overdressed? It's going to be really blazing hot. God, are you sure you want me there? He arose and went. No questions, no anything. This was God's will in his life, and he wanted to do, and he wanted to be about God's business. No question asked, just complete and total obedience. Then we see that he was directed. Once he got there, God tells him that this eunuch was there, and he was in the chariot, and he was reading a passage of scripture, and he needed to join himself to him. And verse 30 says this, and Philip ran thither to him. Philip didn't just stroll up there, okay, God, let me think about what I'm going to do. He ran to him. And as he runs to him, in order to share the gospel, when was the last time you ran to somebody so that you could tell them about Jesus? Man, here's my opportunity. God directed me here. God led me here. I am running there. I'm not going to stop. Man, I'm heading there. Because this is what God wants me to do. He ran. Philip was not about to let this moment get away. God directed him. God led him. When God lays on your heart someone that's lost, someone without Jesus, man, don't waste any time getting there and telling them about Jesus Christ. But I've never done that before, but I'm real leery about that. I'm insecure. Go tell them about Jesus, because they need a messenger to present that word. How often do we run towards opportunities to do God's will? To share Christ with others, or just to follow God's direction, period. This is not going to be received real well, but I'm going to say it anyway. But for those who call themselves believers, for those who say, I'm a child of God, for those who say, I love the Lord, look forward to his coming, children of God, saved by his grace, why is it that so often we have to prod them and push them to get them into church? Or prod them and push them to tell others about Jesus. Or prod and push them just to do something for the Lord. Why is it that those of us who say we love the Lord have to be pushed so hard to do things? Why aren't we running towards the opportunities? Why aren't we running to be where God would have us to be? Why aren't we running to tell others about Jesus? Why aren't we? Is it really in our heart to do God's will? We know God's will. People are dying lost. They're going to hell. You know, I'm thinking about this COVID thing. And a lot of folks, I hear a lot of folks that are really afraid that they may die in all of this. And I say, are you spending time? And these are believers. These are folks that love the Lord. And I say, are you focused more on whether or not you're going to die or telling others who might die about Jesus Christ? Folks, if we're so afraid of that, why are we not telling people about Jesus? Why are we not running to tell people about Jesus? Folks, we need to be running toward opportunities to serve him. Philip was also ready to share. He was willing. He knew the message. He was sensitive to God's will. He was willing to do what God would have him to do. But not only that, he was ready for when the time come to share. When given the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, look what Philip does in verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I don't know about you, but I get visions of, I don't mean like heavenly visions, but I envision these things like as they play out. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking what this must have looked like. Here Philip is. All right, God puts him in this desert place. He sees the eunuch and he's running to the eunuch to get there to tell him about Jesus. And he gets there, and as he's getting closer and closer, this eunuch is sitting there and he sees him reading scripture and he's anxious to see what he's reading. He sits down and he says, you know, this is what I'm reading. I don't understand it. And as soon as he gets there, I can just see Philip wanting real bad to just tell him You know, and he can't wait for the eunuch to stop talking so that he could tell him about Jesus. I want you to know that the man that you're reading about is Jesus. Let me tell you about him. I can just envision this picture and see how excited he is to tell him about Jesus. Think about the eunuch. Envision the eunuch for a moment. Here he sits in his chariot, and he looks over, and here comes this man running at him. He's thinking, what's this guy going to do? Is he going to mug me? I mean, what's he going to do? I think about that every time I go knocking on doors. People, when they hear us and they see us coming up to the door, they're thinking, what's this guy doing? What's he selling? What's he got? You know, I know that happens all the time. And so what we see is him running to the chariot, and I could just kind of picture this eunuch looking at him like, what is this guy doing? And he runs up there, hey, what are you reading? Let me tell you about Jesus. That's who you're reading about. And it's a picture that just plays out in my mind in such an odd way, I guess. But we find that the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53 about the suffering and the death of the Messiah. And he was confused about what Isaiah was speaking about. And he's going, is this talking about Isaiah himself, or is he talking about another man? Well, Philip was ready with the answer. He's speaking about the Messiah. He's speaking about Jesus, who has already come. He was born in Bethlehem, and he was raised up, and he died for our sins on Calvary. Now, we don't get that whole message in there, but we know that's what was preached. And we know that he shared with him about Jesus, and I can almost hear the eagerness in Philip's voice for this opportunity just to share Jesus Christ with somebody else. You know, Philip made these things abundantly clear. And we know that he went even farther than just sharing Christ and salvation. He let this man know, because he's going to get away from him. He's going to head on back to Ethiopia. He let him know that, listen, that's not all. You know, I am an evangelist. I am out of the church there in Jerusalem. And the fact is, if you've truly trusted Jesus Christ, you need to be baptized so that you can go back. You can be a part of the church. You can go back and start new works. And we need that there in Ethiopia. I can just hear him talking about these things and sharing these thoughts. He shared with him everything he needed to know and all that he could share with him in the moment and the time that he had to share. You know, it's kind of interesting. Philip was the messenger to the eunuch. But the eunuch became the messenger to his friends back in Ethiopia. There has to be a messenger, folks. If you're not willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, they'll never hear it. There has to be a messenger. Thankfully, for the eunuch's sake, God used a faithful messenger, Philip. What if that messenger was you? What if that messenger was you? How well would that have fared for the Ethiopian eunuch? Let's look at the message. After the messenger, we have the message. I got to tell you about the message. God's word will always stir the soul. God's word is always going to stir something up within us. And we understand and we know that. Look in verse 32. We'll read through 34. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? I have got to know. Man, there was something about scripture that had stirred this eunuch. And this eunuch was like, I need to know the answer to this. I need to know what the scripture says. Now, notice how this scripture really stirred up the question in the eunuch's mind. I mean, I love when people get into the word. You can tell when people get to this place in their Christian life where they just want to know more and more about God. And man, they begin to delve into it, and they got question after question after question, wanting to know more and letting it stir their heart. By the way, it takes both the messenger and the message to see people come to the Lord. It takes both. Now, some question that, but Romans 10:17 says this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody's got to preach it, folks. Somebody has to preach that gospel. Just prior to that verse I just read, we're told that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We use that verse all the time in salvation. We lead people to the Lord with that. And the question then arises, well, how can I do that? How can I believe in something that I've never believed before? How can I believe in such a thing? How can I believe in something I've never heard? How can I hear unless somebody preaches it to me? Unless there's a messenger. How can I hear these things? So the conclusion is there has to be a messenger to present the word. So Philip, the messenger, began with the word, and from that very scripture began to preach to him his only hope of salvation, Jesus. Folks, the messenger and the message. By the way, God's word is never, ever apart from Jesus. Always Jesus. I can take you any scripture you want in the Bible, and you can take it right to Jesus. You know, when John tells us in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, we find that you cannot separate the Word from Jesus Christ. You can't separate it. John goes on to tell us in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All that we see in this scripture comes to life in Jesus. Folks, we have salvation. We escape hell because Jesus Christ died for us. I mean, keep in mind, He paid the penalty for our sins. It's all about Jesus. We have life because Jesus Christ resurrected. We have hope because Jesus Christ is coming again. And when He comes again, He's going to grab us away and take us with Him. All that the Word says comes to life in Jesus. The scripture in Isaiah 53 that the eunuch was reading changed for the eunuch from something that was confusing to something that had the words of life, to something that changed his life. He looked at it, was confused by it, and then he looked at it as explained to him by the messenger Philip. He began to see Jesus in it, and his life changed. You know, the passage made little sense without the inclusion of Jesus. God's word will always challenge what we believe. Do you know that? It will. It'll always challenge what we believe. What we believe and what we think is typically contradictory to what the scripture teaches. The eunuch came to Jerusalem because he was obedient to the law. He was unsure of what the scripture said and without knowledge of Jesus Christ, yet his religion compelled him to at least worship God. But something was about to change. And while we don't have this full message that Philip preached, we do have a real good taste of it when we see the response of the eunuch. What we find is by the simple fact that Philip must have preached Jesus Christ, and he tells the eunuch, who went from believing his eternity was fashioned by doing good works and by observing the law and by worshiping God, he changed what he believed to that of trusting in the grace of Jesus Christ. To understanding and knowing that Jesus Christ died for his sins. I know this because I know what Isaiah said. In fact, if you'll look, as Philip continued in Isaiah 53, preaching Jesus, if you were to look in Isaiah, here's what you find. Pick it up in verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And then verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. But his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He went on to preach Isaiah 53 to let this eunuch know that, listen, it's not about keeping the law. It's not about coming and observing the feast. It's not about your coming to the temple and serving and worshiping. It is about knowing Jesus Christ died for your sins, and that the only hope you have is to allow Him to pay that penalty for you and trust Him into your life. That's what we see in Isaiah 53. How can you read this, apply it to Jesus, and not know that your sins are forgiven? That it has nothing to do with our good deeds or our works? You know, God is satisfied only in the death of Jesus Christ. It pleased Him to bruise him because He knew that that penalty that had to be paid was life for you and I. by his son dying on the cross of Calvary, being put to death, you and I could be forgiven and be given life. God was pleased that his son made the sacrifice for you and I. You know, God's word also brings submission. You know, after hearing the word, the eunuch received the word and acted upon it. I love verse 36. He asked what he should do. And he says, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Look, here's water. Let me just go ahead and get baptized. Well, Philip was okay with that, but he wanted to verify some things. You don't just say, okay, baptism is going to save you. We never have anybody come up and say, hey, listen, you know, I need to be saved. Can you baptize me? That's not the way it works. And Philip wanted to clear that up. Philip wanted to make sure that the eunuch got it straight because he's going to take this message back to Ethiopia. Let's make sure he gets it right. He wasn't satisfied with simple salvation. He wanted to continue in complete obedience. We know that because he gets it right. When we look in verse 37, which, by the way, is the key verse in all of this. Verse 37 clears up the whole account. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, if you believe that he died for your sins, if you believe that your only hope is in him, then yeah, I have no problem baptizing you, but you need to believe this first. And he, the eunuch, answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Without that profession of faith, we're not baptizing the eunuch. We baptize the eunuch because of that profession of faith. Folks, you make sure that you get that because this is the key verse in the whole account. And Philip says, if you truly believe with all your heart, and he says, I believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. I always ask that question, by the way, when I baptize. You believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? I figure if it's good enough for the eunuch, it'd be good enough for any of us. Amen? Amen. When we're baptized, we identify with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What that baptism did was it showed his submission. It said, look, I believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. I know he died. I know he was buried. And I know he resurrected. And I believe him to be the Son of God. Tells you he believed everything else about him. And he says, can you baptize me? Because I want to identify with him. It's an act of submission that identifies us with Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In verse 39, look at how it changed their life. And I say their life. It says in verse 39, when they were come up out of the water, by the way, they came up out of the water. Just for record. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went away on his way rejoicing. Philip was caught away because he had jobs to do, tell others about Jesus Christ. You read on, you'll see he just went elsewhere to tell others. My job's done here. Let me go tell somebody else about Jesus. But what I want you to look at is the eunuch. Because of the messenger who was faithful to share God's will, because of the message that has the power to change hearts and lives, he says he went on his way rejoicing. Changed his life. He was confused. He was perplexed. I wonder sometimes after having come to the temple, observed the things that he did all the things he was doing, heading back to Ethiopia, and he pulls off to the side of the road, and he's reading in Isaiah. There were some things that was troubling his heart. Man, that just seems so empty. This all just seems so empty. What has God's word got to say about this? Folks, it's no coincidence he was in Isaiah 53. It's no coincidence God sent Philip to minister to him. Let me tell you something. When God pierces a heart, pierces a life, and when God uses that messenger to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with lost souls, they can come away rejoicing. Something changes in their heart and in their life. As we prepare for a song of invitation today, I want to ask you this. You know, I'm the messenger today. You've heard the message. You've heard it. Jesus is still the answer, folks. Nothing has changed from the day of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch till today. We are still the messenger, and the message is still the same, and folks need to be saved. Folks, it's up to us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If there's anyone listening today, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, let me be that messenger that shares with you the only hope you have is in Jesus. He died for your sins. If you are to have eternal life, it's only through Him. You can be religious. You can look at all of that. You can brag about being a part of a church. You can say you've studied His Word. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have nothing. Today, trust Him. He is your only hope. Stand with us if you would. Page 553, Nearer My God to Thee.